This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We have our next guest in the studio with us.
Now, this is something a bit special we're going to be chatting about here.
We've got Jane Hammond and Teresa Borg, who are here to talk about the, it's the second development workshop for The Spare Room, which is an opera based on works by Helen Garner. Now, we'll obviously get a little bit of information about the piece that you're working on, but just a bit of background on the two of you. Now, I might start with you, Teresa, only because you're on around the table. Teresa, how did you get started in the role that you're doing, and where did your love for all of this come about?
Oh, well, I don't want to tell you how long I've been doing this for, Neil.
Go for it. That's all right.
But, you know, I had my first on-stage gig when I was 15, and I spent most of my 20s and 30s on stage. And but when it came time to have a family, Anton and I decided we needed to have a few more strings to our bow. So we had a production company, and because I was doing most of the childcare, the creative stuff sat easily around it. So I ended up writing and directing in it, and it really suits me.
And what were you doing on stage?
I did a fair bit of opera. So I did some Musetta and Angelique and Zerbinetta, but also Les Mis and Phantom.
Yeah, and studying, you know, like that, you know, like studying opera is a long journey, isn't it?
It is. It's a very long journey. Unfortunately, my operatic career had a bit of a hiccup. I nearly died when I had my son. My lungs collapsed.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. And that wouldn't help.
No,
you know, like, with breath control and stuff.
It was pretty devastating at the time. I think probably mainly the thing I've lost with my breathing is confidence. I feel really lucky that I've got a few strings to my bow.
Yeah,
and I've got very old friends. Like Jane and I met, 35 years ago or so at the old Victoria State Opera, and we were doing schools company there, and I was singing and Jane was the composer and the musical director.
And that's probably a good segue to go into.
I was going to say something really corny, a dad joke, that you play the Hammond organ.
Actually, I've never played a Hammond organ. I do remember Happy Hammond in the tweed jacket, but I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah. It's, you know, like the minute you see that word Hammond to me, I just think of Hammond organ. It's really funny.
Well, yeah, theatre organs still have their place, you know.
They do. Yeah. They do, very much. And talking about operas, you know, like the Phantom of the Opera and all that, you know, with, you know, the organ.
I've played in the pitch for the Phantom of the Opera, so I used to have to play the organ sound.
Which is such a powerful piece, isn't it?
I'd sit there and he'd be going up into the stage and I'd be playing the organ.
Megalomaniacs.
So give us your background.
I've always loved working in theatre and being, you know, my mum used to take me to the Melbourne Theatre Company. As kids, we used to go to Melbourne Theatre Company. And opera, she always had the opera going around the house, and she liked to sing.
And what did you study? You know, like you mentioned, piano.
Yeah.
And you still teach?
I still teach, yeah. I write in amongst it all.
Right.
The patchwork career.
Right. And what's it like these days? You know, like, are the kids as dedicated as what they were, say, 20 years ago, you know, with wanting to learn?
Oh, it varies. It's children always, you know. Yeah, they always have their little interests and passions.
Yeah. And do you ever come across one that you just think, oh, they're so passionate about wanting to learn and
absolutely. All that? Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. There's always one or two of those.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Now, so tell us, what's your connection, the two of you? What do you do together?
Well, Teresa's been put together a libretto in this instance, but we've worked together on other projects. Teresa's a really good theatre maker and has a great sense of what's going to work in on stage and make the space.
Is this being recorded?
Yes, it is.
So that makes it easier for me. And, you know, we have the common language of having worked together in the theatre and on main stage. You know, we've both worked, I've worked on big productions and as an opera repetiteur.
Yeah.
So and as an MD for many years and playing and also then creating work.
Now, Teresa, why this piece? You know, like, what was it? Describe it a little bit to us about Helen Garner.
Well, Helen Garner is, of course, an iconic Australian author. She's in her early 80s now, and she's been part of my life since I was 20 or so. And this novel is a 2008 novel. It's her best-selling book around the world. And it describes 3 weeks where Helen looked after a friend from Sydney in her house in North Melbourne. And her friend had not only had stage 4 cancer, but was having alternative treatments. And it's the story of that 3 weeks. And it's very black humour, lots of gallows humour.
Okay.
And also, you know, the romance of their friendship, a very powerful female friendship that, of course, one of the friends is dying. And also, I think Helen would say that rage sort of underlines the whole story as well. You know, existential rage that we have to lose our friends, and also the rage that goes with caring. Mm. And, you know, I'm one of those people who sadly lost a lot of relatives quite early. And when I read the book, it just moved me viscerally. And the first way I thought of it was maybe as a physical piece, but that's not my métier. And when I realised that it could be operatic, I immediately wanted to work with Jane on it, because Jane writes beautiful, passionate, compelling music.
Yep.
And Helen, luckily, was very interested in the idea, because it's taken us a little while to realise, but it has some very traditional characters. You know, it has an adorable and declining and maddening diva. It has a nurse. There's a child that floats through the story, and there are any number of predators as well. So it's actually a very operatic story in a contemporary Melbourne setting.
Okay. Who wrote it?
Helen Garner.
No. Who wrote the... I know that. who wrote the opera?
Well, I wrote the libretto. I had the very difficult task of choosing from Helen's book which pages would make it into the libretto, because it's a very dense and poetic work. Mm. So, you know, I'd write a libretto and I'd send it to Jane. She said, too many words.
Yeah.
We got to the point where we were actually counting how many pages there were in Così fan tutte or in Sondheim and comparing to try and get the libretto down.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Interesting way of looking at it. But how did you find writing from a book, which a lot of the operas these days and are done that way? But, you know, is it hard, or is it easy because you know the general story, you're not making a story up?
Well, it is definitely, from my point of view, easier to adapt.
Right.
Especially something of the quality of Helen's writing. You know, I've done lots of writing from scratch, and Helen's certainly done the hard yards of constructing a beautiful arc, a beautiful story arc. The tricky thing for me was then analysing the story, working out what the major hinges were in the story, and making sure that they were all represented in our story that we put on stage.
Yeah, and it's the story that people have got to follow.
Yes.
You know, like when they're seeing it. So, Jane, writing the music, once you've got it, is that a difficult process? Because to me, you know, like Neil, I don't know, I would find it so difficult.
That's why, David, we're on this side and not on that
but
side.
But a page of words and you've got to then put music to it?
Well, I have to look for the emotional undertones and the sort of the subtext all the time and see where the journey is within, you know, that page, and where that page is going and where it belongs in the rest of the libretto.
Okay.
And knowing that Teresa's always has intention about why she's left things in, and that there's got to be space then for what's happening.
But you keep on telling too many words, too many words.
Yeah, too many words, too many words.
Because then it's like a Mozart personality, too many words. boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Like Mozart, too many notes.
can I just go back a little bit? Because at the moment now you're going through the second development workshop. So can you just explain a little bit of the process, what that means? Because I know we've talked on the show a few weeks ago about, you know, initial readings and things like that. Now, what stage are we at with this? Well, are you at with this, basically? Yes. Oh, it was a royal we, but you know what I mean.
Yes, well, you know, I'm hoping that everybody will enjoy our piece. Mm. Well, in early 2023, Jane had written 30 minutes of music, and we decided to test it out. We pulled together this fabulous cast of Australian singers, and we not only learned the music, but we put it on its feet and performed it. You probably had lots of friends who came to see that, and it really worked. Jane and I were delighted. And this time we had a week in the room, and we just focused on music, because Jane's now written a complete draft of the opera. And, you know, it was an intense week. The temperature was high because there was a lot to accomplish in a short time. And also it's a very moving story, like an intensely emotional story. We presented it on the Saturday and we've had great feedback. So we're quite hopeful that, you know, the next stage will be that an opera company picks it up and puts it on stage.
I was going to say, when you've presented this now, this is mostly to industry people, just to show, get an interest in,
Yes, so they can sort of sail by sample, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And how hard is it, you know, the process? Because, you know, like getting money, you know, like funding, we all know about funding, you know, how tough it is in the arts. And, you know, like you've got something that's, yeah, like it's very precious to you both because you've been involved in it the whole way through. Yeah, like, but then you've got to sell it.
Yep, you just nailed it in a nutshell. That's
but,
how it
but
goes.
How, yeah, like, how does your emotions ride with that? You know, like where you're getting great feedback, but there's still that whole thing of, well, who's going to put it on for us?
Yeah, well, Jane said something beautiful the other day about we were having lunch afterwards, and she said, you know, every step is a cause for celebration, and so we're just at this point we're sitting tight, and we're hopeful that we'll hear some we'll have good news in the near future. But I just thought that was a great way to look at it.
Well, you know, I did a project with Helen Noonan some years ago. I don't know if you remember Helen Noonan, great performer and singer, and she was also very enterprising, like Teresa, and liked to get new work on and create new work. And we did a project called Voicing Emily. And I think probably from the beginning of her coming and talking to me in my studio at home, it was 7 years before we got to the, you know, Playbox Theatre and the Melbourne Recital Centre and festivals and some little bit of touring. And that was, you know, at least I think it was 7 years.
Yeah, I hope this isn't 7 years.
No, exactly. No, I think we're making it at a pace, you know.
Yeah, we're working at pace. Exactly.
So what would be the ideal situation from now on? You know, like, you know, one of the major opera companies picking it up. And, you know, like, do you then just hand it over or do you still become very involved? Oh, look, Jane's really looking at you hard.
Well, you know, when you, Anton, you know, you both know Anton and community knows Anton. And
what a wonderful man.
Yeah, he's a lovely man. And Anton and I have done a lot of producing over the years. And I guess, you know, we've also done lots of co-producing with various organisations. And essentially all of that would be negotiated and different, but probably Jane and I, because it would be the debut production, would be involved in getting it on its feet, because there's still a lot to do. You know, there's not a director attached yet, there's no designer attached, and we're still, you know, the great thing about being in the position we are in is that once again we get to be the megalomaniacs. You know, it's all in our heads, and we need to be able to transfer our understanding of what we were writing to other creatives, so that the project is as layered and beautiful as possible.
Yeah. And are you the type of people that, you know, like, accept the way it's going to roll out? And will you want to change things along the way? Or once, you know, like, say the production gets up, will you be sitting there going, no, scrap that, I've written something special here now? You know, or can't you do that?
Like Stravinsky, you know, he famously had all these different versions. Yeah.
I think, I guess the thing is, really the final arbiter with any of these things is the audience, you know. So, especially those first few weeks of audience when your friends and your trusted few are in, you really pay attention. I love to sit in the audience and watch and see how they're responding, make sure they're laughing at the right times, make sure they're crying at the right times, which they were last week, may I say. You know, that's why we have previews. You know, we don't so often get to go through this process in Australia because it's just, there's just not the pathways as there are overseas in London and New York. But, you know, that's traditionally why you have such a long preview period, is so that the composer and the writer can put their heads together and the director comes and says, that bit's not working, go home and rewrite that scene. So, yeah, I'd like to think that we could stay open to that process.
Right, because we were speaking to a writer the other day, playwright, and And I asked that question about, you know, like sitting in, you know, rewriting, and she went, no, you know, like this was, you know, like I had to walk away from it because it was so, you know, like, and it was so wordy that I couldn't touch it. You know, like they had to learn it and move forward with it. And I went, oh, you know, because I think it'd be great if you could change things along the way.
Yeah,
but
it's good to change.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, I'll make it, want to make it work as a theatre piece.
Yeah.
If I need a bit more, you know, scene change music, oh well.
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
Right. I said to someone the other day, Jane's great. If we need 8 more bars for a transition, we say, please, Jane, can we have 8 more bars? Yes.
Well, sometimes I can say, walk, you know, walk faster. You know, like.
That's funny. Run. That's
run.
Funny.
Negotiate.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, look, all the very best. What can we do now to help you, you know, apart from this interview? We'll get you to come back and let us know what's unfolding as time goes on. We'd love
thanks,
to
David.
Stay involved
thank
in
thank you. We're so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the support is just, we really thank you for it. We really appreciate it. And we're very aware that at Joy there's a lot of support for the arts, and we all count on it, frankly.
Good on you. Good on you. And what about the general public? You know, how can they get involved? Is there somewhere they can go to find out more information? Or?
Yes, there's a website. Our website is called monstroustheatre.com.au. And if anybody who's interested is very much encouraged to write to us on the email address that's available there and say, we can't wait for the show. Make sure that you let us know when tickets are on sale.
Brilliant. That's great.
And will it be first showing here in Melbourne?
Oh, let's hope so. You wouldn't have much
control of that, I suppose.
Well, it all depends on who we work with. But I guess what would be ideal for me is that Jane and I are Melbourne born and bred. Mm. Our cast is Melbourne born and bred. And, of course, the great Helen Garner is a Melbourne icon, so to open her show here would be ideal.
Hello, it can't go anywhere else.
No,
come on.
Exactly right. Thank you very much, David.
Just need the investors to agree with that.
Yeah,
it's
set
in Melbourne. It's set
in
Melbourne.
It's set in Melbourne. There's quite a bit of Melbourne Sydney going on in the book too.
There is,
so I think it should open in Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, lovely having you here today, and congratulations on doing what you're doing as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, David and Neil.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Teresa Borg and Jane Hammond here on Joy in regard about the Spare Room, which is an opera being worked on at the moment. You're on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.